Hello, and welcome back to Green Living Podcast. This week's episode is composting. From my own personal experience and while doing research, this has been the episode I've been looking forward to making the most. I have only known the bare minimum over the years about composting. My family has been vermicomposting for about 8 years now. We have been outside with night crawlers and reg wigglers. However, in researching more information for this podcast episode, I learned so much more and am so happy that when I start my own compost in a few weeks that I have more knowledge and know-how. And something I wanted to mention at the beginning of this episode is we have all heard of reduce, reuse, recycle, but I think there needs to be an extra R added, which is replenish. And I think composting is a perfect first step for individuals to start replenishing the earth. So let's get into composting. So what is composting? Composting is a method for treating solid waste in which organic material is broken down by microorganisms in the presence of oxygen to a point where it can safely be handled and applied to the environment. Composting is an essential part of reducing household wastes. Compost is a natural alternative to chemical fertilizers. Compost is rightfully often referred to as black gold. Adding compost to your garden will help with moderating pH, increase fertility, water retention, and adding nutrients. The microorganisms, vitamins, and antibiotics in compost helps to prevent harmful pathogens from harming plants. The most important thing to do is to make sure that you create the right environment for your compost. If you do not, it can take months or even years to start producing nutritious soil. Composting diverts food waste from landfills where it would not have enough air to break down quickly and would produce harmful methane gases, which contributes to global warming. So in the US in 2010 alone, we produced 133 billion pounds of food waste. It was estimated that food waste was about 30 to 40% of the food supply. That is a huge percentage of the overall food supply chain. That food could have gone to families in need or reused for compost to help replenish the soil. And disposing of this much food waste would have meant a lot of energy and time in terms of transportation, storing, disposing, water, labor, and land. According to the USDA or the US Department of Agriculture, 2010 is a benchmark year for food waste. And in 2015, the USDA joined with the US EPA, which is the Environmental Protection Agency, to set a goal to cut the US's food waste by 50% by 2030. So that was a lot of food waste in 2010, and it just goes to show how wasteful we can be with our food and not really give it a second thought about throwing it away when it could have gone to, as I said before, you know, families in need or, you know, composting or other methods to be able to use it for something productive. Let's talk about the benefits and elements of composting. So the benefits of composting are you get free soil, not just free, but nutrient-rich, moisture-holding, fertility-rich soil. You are upcycling your kitchen and yard waste, so it won't go to a landfill and then produce those harmful methane gases. And it's great for the environment and your garden, and it saves you a lot of money from buying soil for your garden or other fertilizers. And it helps to have an organic garden. The elements that go into composting, there are four crucial elements. And something you might hear for a healthy compost is to feed it brown and green. And I will explain what brown and green specifically is. So the first is carbon. Carbon materials are energy food for microorganisms. Think of carbon food as brown. Examples of brown or carbon are wood chips, straw, shredded paper, You want to avoid glossy paper colored with ink. Pine needles, but use sparingly since they are highly acidic. Dry leaves. If you use dry leaves, try and shred them so they break down faster. Corn cobs or corn stalks, and cardboard, again shredded so they can break down quickly. The next is nitrogen. Nitrogen-rich materials provide protein to help microorganisms grow and multiply. Think of these foods as green. When thinking about feeding your compost, think brown and green elements need to go into it. Composts need more carbon than nitrogen, so a good ratio is one part green, two parts brown, or one-third green and two-thirds brown. Examples of nitrogen-rich materials are coffee grounds, eggshells, grass clippings, kitchen scraps. For regular composting, no meat or dairy, and not too much citrus if you have worm compost. Fresh weeds only if they've not gone to seed. Loose tea leaves. Try to avoid tea bags because they have plastic in them. And seaweed or kelp. The next element in having a healthy compost is water. Adding moisture to your compost will help the microorganisms grow. Sprinkle your compost with water when you turn it, or insert the garden hose in the compost, giving it a little water, then moving to a new spot. Make sure that you have a cover for your compost, such as a lid or tarp, so that you do not drown the microorganisms. Do not rely on rain to keep your compost wet. It will oversaturate it and kill the microorganisms or worms. The final element to a healthy compost is oxygen. Oxygen is key when you have a compost. Microorganisms require a good amount of it and need it to survive. Most composts made bins have aeration holes, and some composts turn over. Either way you do it, make sure that your compost gets adequate air. Now that we talked about what elements we need for composting, let's talk about three different kinds of composting, which are basic composting bins, worm compost or vermicomposting, and bokashi. So the first one is basic composting, and I have given it that name. I just called it basic composting because it is a overall general style and it is one of the most widely used. So how can you do a basic compost? You can DIY compost bins. There are many YouTube videos, and a DIY one is the least expensive method. You can take a garbage can or plastic bin and drill aeration holes around the top rim, then fill the bin with browns and greens. Alternatively, you can also put up short fences, or some people put up pallets on the ground outside, and you can just start it directly on the ground, putting browns and greens. You can also purchase a compost bin or compost digester. These bins can be smaller to fit in a small backyard or home. They are designed for composting if you are nervous about making one yourself. And there are also tumblers. These are known as the most effective enclosed bin method. These bins act as an insulator and activate the microbes by adding extra aeration, since you tumble it every few days. Do not put these in your compost. Meat, bones, and dairy. Try to avoid diseased plants. They might spread their disease when you spread out the compost. No pet manure in compost. That will be used for food. If you have non-organic banana peels, peach peels, or orange rinds, they may contain pesticides. So if you do have organic banana peels, peach peels, and orange rinds that were not used with pesticides, those are fine to put in. But try to avoid any sort of pesticide-ridden food items. So the next method of composting is worm composting or vermicomposting. As I mentioned before, my parents started vermicomposting about 8 years ago at their house. This is the only type of compost that I am familiar with since my parents have done it. So what exactly is vermicomposting? Vermicomposting is the decomposition process, or basically poop, of worms that eat a mixture of food waste and bedding materials, aka browns and greens. So the biggest difference here is you actually have worms in your compost, and you need to be a little extra careful with temperatures and balancing greens and browns because you are dealing with worms. Vermicomposting is similar to composting bins. They need aeration as well as a lid to be able to keep extra moisture from drowning the worms. You can also do a worm farm, or worm tower, Orm Worm Factory. The best kinds of worms to use for vermicomposting are red wigglers and night crawlers, and you should be able to purchase these online or locally. Some vermicomposting bins actually have three layers. The top one is where you put your food and yard waste for the worms to eat. The middle is where the fresh compost is made, and you switch the top and middle one once the middle one is full, so the worms will move up towards the food. And the bottom layer collects the liquid, or as it is known, as worm tea. And this liquid is a great natural fertilizer that can be mixed with water. And if I didn't explain that correctly, or if it didn't make sense, I will link a great video about this on YouTube. Other methods of keeping a vermicompost are just basic plastic totes from the store that you drill holes around the lid and then put in your browns and greens and then put on the lid. And another alternative, if you're wanting to purchase one, is a sub pod. They are an all-inclusive composting system. I've read a little bit about them, but I will link their website as well. Things to add for bedding for vermicomposts are leaves, shredded cardboard. I also saw someone using cocoa core and some potting soil and shredded newspaper. And then you put a little water, and then you can put a burlap sack on top or newspaper on top of the compost before putting on the lid, and this will help with temperature and retaining the moisture in the compost. And so foods to avoid for vermicomposting, again, it follows kind of the same rules as regular composting, so no meat, no dairy, and specifically for the vermicomposting, no onions, not too many citrus items, no overly moldy food or soggy food, not any super spicy food, and no processed foods. The final method of composting is bokashi. This is the style of composting that I know about the least, so it's very interesting to research. Bokashi is similar to composting in that it converts food waste and organic matter into soil. However, it utilizes fermentation. It uses bokashi bran to ferment food waste using lactobacillus bacteria. It is an anaerobic process, so it should have no aeration. You can ferment almost anything, so bokashi basically allows everything that the basic and the vermicomposting doesn't, so you can put in fats, meat. You, however, cannot put in very large items. You need to chop them up, and you cannot put anything that is moldy in there. This is a quicker process due to the fermentation, and for some, it can only take about a month to get compost. And the bokashi system is set up a little bit differently. It usually does have two bins, and one that collects the moisture at the bottom, and one on the top that is the fermentation. So you usually layer your food scraps, and then the bokashi bran, and then more food scraps. And then you put on an airtight lid, as I said before, because it is an anaerobic process. And then you let that sit and you don't really mess with it. And there's a lot of information online about bokashi. That was just a short summary because, as I said before, that's the one I am least familiar with. For any of these composting ideas, you can talk to the people at your local gardening center, or there are a lot of online forums for composting. And of course, there are a bunch of YouTube videos. So what if you cannot or don't want to compost yourself? For those who do not have a garden or do not want to compost but do not want to throw away their food scraps, there are some cities that do compost pickup. You just have to save your food scraps. I know some people freeze them so they don't smell. And then you can set up a pickup time, or there might be drop-off locations for food scraps at designated locations. And when I looked up pickups for composts, it varies by city or state. There are organizations that do it. You just have to make sure you find the correct one for your location. So if you just Google compost pickup or drop-off near me, it should come up, hopefully, with an organization that is local to you. And alternatively, if you have friends or know of people that compost or have large gardens that are in need of compost, just get in contact with them, and if they are willing to accept them, then you can give them your browns and greens. That is it for the composting episode. Researching and watching videos about vermicomposting and bokashi has gotten me really excited about starting my own. I am going to start with my own vermicomposting system, and then eventually I would really like to move into a bokashi system. And something I wanted to clear up from last week when I talked about my plastic audit, I mentioned that I'm living with someone, so there are some plastic items that come into our home that I wouldn't necessarily purchase. And when I listened back to it, it did sound a bit harsh that I was throwing that person under the bus, but what I meant is that I am not trying to impose my lifestyle and choices on someone else. So when I said I wouldn't have purchased these items, that is because some of those things I wouldn't, but I am also not plastic free or plastic zero. I am trying to be, but I am still purchasing items that do have plastic in them. And I wasn't trying to blame anyone for the amount of plastic coming into our house. I did contribute a large amount to that high number of plastic items coming into our household. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at greenlivingpod, that's GreenLivingPod. And Pinterest has actually changed, and it is greenlivingpodcast now, and the blog is greenlivingpod.com. Thank you so much for listening.